Woo woo! You know, guys, it does feel great to be able to say that we have sports this month. Now, we got a few weeks to get through, and things are not looking great at the moment, but to know that we have spring training tomorrow, to know that the NBA bubble is going to get set up here very, very shortly, that baseball will be played this month, that basketball will be played this month, that MLS will be played this month, that this month, just the phrase this month, it feels so good because it's been 4 months, guys. It can't come fast enough.
No, it has. It's been 4 months, and it can't come fast enough, but the fact that we're getting ready to see some spring training, and I'm assuming they'll let some videographers or some sort come into the stadium and shoot from a distance, a guy's
probably
warming up and doing those sort of things. So when you start to see that, you start to see, oh, gosh, we're getting closer and closer. Now, the interesting thing to be is for any other sports, I believe, out of all of them, baseball is going to stand strong, and it's going to probably finish the season because of the contact is very limited. You know, you can wear masks, you could do all sorts of things to limit your contact, where I don't think that there'll be any stoppage in baseball. I think we'll see it from beginning to end. Basketball and football, on the other hand, is kind of one of those deals where it's like, okay, let's see what happens with basketball and football. It takes some pointers from the way baseball is going to roll their deal out. So I'm just glad that we'll have some stuff to talk about. Now, you know, it may be, he was pitching, he was warming up for the last 3 days, and he got a tweak in his elbow. How will that affect this team? We'll have something to talk about. You know, that mm-hmm. is things that we haven't had a chance to talk about over the last 3.5 months. We've been talking about other things on and off the field. Now we finally get a chance to talk about basically everything that's on the field.
I'm curious, Key, why you think baseball is the most likely to go and complete, because to me they seem the least likely to do it. The basketball seems the best setup. The fact that they're doing it in a bubble, the fact that they're going to go in there and they're going to test as frequently as they are, and people are not coming in and out, they're all at one spot, gives me faith that they're going to be able to execute
but
the
see,
NBA
baseball,
season.
Only thing, baseball is traveling, right? I mean, and so
well, they're traveling and they're not traveling. Quarantined. They're in and out of their own homes. They're in and out of hotels. They're in and out of ballparks. They're in and out of whatever restaurants and places they want to go. That they're out in the world and they're traveling
like,
from city
much
to city
like
to
basketball,
city.
Much like basketball, even though basketball is in a bubble, the players are at home and in a bubble. They fought to stay at home, to be with their families. So I don't know that the players all of a sudden are going to want to venture out into restaurants and do all of those sort of things when they know that there's an opportunity, a chance that they could contract the virus opposed to staying at home like they beg to do.
Well, listen, baseball, basketball, those are, you know, sports where it's hard to social distance, but you can at the very least, you know, recognize that the contact, if you will, a lot of it's incidental. Football, there's just no, I honestly can't wrap my head around football coming close to 10 games. I'm just going to be real with you. When you think about how this virus is transmitted and the environment of a football team, let alone during a football game, I just don't see it, especially without a bubble. I just don't understand it. And I hear you, Key, in terms of, you know, looking at baseball and thinking, you know, maybe they'll be able to survive it. But, you know, as Travis pointed out, it's because they're traveling and they're not quarantined and they're not in a bubble. You know, 60 games is going to be a task in that environment.
But if you travel,
I don't understand why no one understands that if you really want this season to happen, a bubble is the best case scenario.
It might be the best, but when you're in an isolated situation, baseball is traveling. First of all, like again, they're not traveling with others in general population. They're traveling amongst themselves in those crews. I'm sure they're going to be testing all the time.
They are.
So the traveling part, remember, they're isolated now. They are going to be isolated. It's whether or not when they're at home that they can restrain the appetite to venture out into the general public and be, you know, partying and doing all that sort of stuff. Because everybody goes to the store. We all go to stores every single day. We all go here and there. We might decide to go grab a bite to eat outdoors somewhere and keep our 6 feet and our social distance. We're all going to do that. But I don't see, and I can't see where all of a sudden people that play Major League Baseball is hanging out at the beach on their off day.
But it doesn't have to be that. It could just be going in and through an airport. It could be going through a hotel lobby. It could be a million different things.
But the hotel lobbies or the hotel lobbies, I'm assuming, and I don't know this for a fact, those hotels are for those teams. They're not going to have General Pop in the same hotel.
We'll see. But you're on buses, and I know they're going to sanitize these things, but it's just there's a lot of vectors inside of a baseball season that are not going to exist inside a basketball season. As for the basketball season, the Lakers have opted not to replace Dwight Howard on their roster. Let's take a listen to Frank Vogel, who said they're going to leave it open and they're going to continue to talk with Dwight.
Yeah, we've been in communication with Dwight the whole way, with supportive phone calls and text messages. And, you know, we don't know what the level of participation is going to be yet. He wants to play. We're hopeful that he's able to join us. He has an extenuating circumstance that he's working with the league on in terms of what that is ultimately going to look like. But we're hopeful and optimistic that he'll be able to join us in Orlando.
That's, I mean, hopeful and optimistic, I think, is the best way to look at this, that you leave it open. You hope that he decides to come. You hope that you decide or he decides to be a full participant and the Lakers get what they got from him. Because without Dwight Howard, the situation for them winning a championship is very, very different. It radically alters their chances to win a title.
It does. And I think that is why the Lakers are so active in working with Dwight on trying to solve the issues at hand, working with the NBA, doing those sort of things. You haven't heard many teams talk about the NBA and their players of trying to figure out the bubble. They kind of just let the players make the decision on their own whether or not they want to play. This is different. I think they realize the importance of having Dwight, but they're not going to pressure him into joining them. They want it to be on his terms. They wanted him to make that decision. But they're certainly going to assist him in that.
I feel for him and what he's trying to navigate through. You know, I've never been in that situation, you know, thank God. But I can't imagine the burden or the pressures that he feels to make sure that his son is all right. And there's this deadline hovering over him. And he has a chance to do something really special. Remember, he was the first overall draft pick out of high school. And, you know, led a team to the finals, beating LeBron James in the process to getting to the finals, obviously losing to the Lakers. But you just knew that his future was bright because he was so young and he had just dragged not a very good team into the playoffs, into the finals. And since then, it's just kind of been, you know, season after season of injuries and disappointment. And here he has a chance to kind of correct that. And then the pandemic hits. And then now, you know, the tragedy at home. And now he's being pressured, not by the organization, but just by reality of trying to get these things in order to fulfill the promise of his NBA career that he's very fortunate to have back. And he has a chance to rewrite his own history. And it's a lot, man. It's a lot. So I'm glad to see from Genie Bus on down that the attitude of the franchise is to think about him as a person first and foremost and making sure he feels supported and that he has the things that he needs. Because, you know, I know that we want to win. And I know a lot of us, me included, feel as if our chances of winning a championship are drastically hindered if Dwight Howard's not available to us. But we have to stay focused on the fact that he's a man first. And he got a child that's hurting, and he's got to make sure that his son is all right. Because while it's true that championships are forever, I still say your relationship with your child is longer than that.
Yeah, no, look, if he decides not to go, he has a really good reason not to be there, and the best reason not to be there. And that's making sure that one of his kids is well taken care of and getting the help and the comfort that he needs. I mean, like you said, LZ, that's the number one thing. If he opts out, no one is going to look at Dwight anything other than, yeah, I totally get it. And if you do see it differently, you're doing it wrong. That being said, I think he's coming, because if he wasn't coming, I think he would have said, I'm not coming. You guys might want to go find somebody else. And like we talked about, I know the Lakers have a lot of players that they're trying to get integrated into their team right now, that whether it's Markieff Morris or Deion Waiters or J.R. Smith, that they're going to have to try to find a way to put them inside a team that was already clicking at a very high level. And when you start adding pieces, who knows what that's going to look like. That being said, what have we talked about so many times during this whole thing, that your depth, your the back end of your roster through this thing might be more important than ever before, because you just don't know who you're going to lose and for how long you might lose them. So a guy that you're thinking, well, look, we're never going to have to use this guy anyway, he's the 13th guy on our roster. Well, that 13th guy on the roster may be somebody that you need to use for a game or two in a playoff series while you're waiting for somebody else to get healthy. So if he wasn't coming, I think they would have filled that spot. I think they believe that there's a very, very good chance that he joins that team. The fact that they're not going to put his spot up and give it to somebody else, that if that was the way that they were going to do it, I think you would have made the decision the way that these other guys have opted out. And there's a handful of them that said, you know, Avery Bradley, I'm not coming. Okay, we'll go out. We'll fill your spot. We got J.R. Smith. Let's see what that looks like. That he, that Frank Vogel, you know, we're optimistic. We're talking with him about his participation. That makes me feel good about the fact that I think that he's going to join the team at some point.
You know, I think he is, though. I think he's going to join the team. He's going to take his time, and he's going to think through it. And at the end of the day, I believe, my feeling, my gut feeling is that he'll be in Orlando with him. He's come too far, not just from a basketball standpoint, but from a family standpoint as well, that they'll work it out, and his family will be able to join him to some degree in Orlando.
Yep, I'm hopeful, you know, that will, you know, certainly be the case. And it's big, you know, we're not saying that you have to stay like in a backyard or something. You know, as we talked about yesterday, we're talking about 40 miles. And even if you just stay focused in on the Wild World part of Disneyland, that still is a significant chunk. And, you know, if you set it up right, which I'm sure the NBA will, they're spending $150 million a day to make sure it's set up right. Hopefully that would alleviate a day, 150 a day. In order to
that
do
seems
that.
High.
Man, do the math. How long are they going to be there?
That seems high.
Well, that's the report from Brian Windhorst.
I don't think it's a day. I think it's 150 total. Yeah, that's, I don't think low. It's a day. No, I wouldn't. That wouldn't be low. That would be about right. Think about it. The NBA spending 150. That's total. That can't be a day, because if you think about 150, the rooms alone is going to be discounted. The food, I mean, all that sort of stuff is discounted. What else are they?
Yeah, it's for a 3 month process.
For sure, three months. 150 for 3 months can be. You smart, LZ? Come on, doctor. 150 a day.
I thought the number was high myself.
Man, if they do 150 a day, hell, the NBA, if they did 150 a day,
you're over a billion in a week and a half.
That's about $5 billion to $6 billion. Man, they ain't making that type of cheese.
Look, the fact is, you go into
that bubble, and whether it's 40 miles long or whatever it is, and that's a big-ass bubble. There's no two ways about it, but it's the idea that you can't leave. That's the part that makes it hard.
Think about it, Travis. I don't know if you've been to Disney World, Orlando, and caught that stretch, but that's for me to you, basically.
And
that's what I keep saying about sneaking out. I'm like, man, y'all got some traps. Y'all gonna have some traps. It's gonna be some people sneaking in more so than sneaking out.
Yeah, same. But you know what? Same idea. You know, it is. You have people coming in and people coming out. It's
traps?
The same thing. That's an old
traps.
School.
Is there a proximity down in Orlando?
All right. One of the oldest issues in the NFL, the name change, might finally be getting some traction. We'll get into it next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. Here's a question for the hot dog eating contest. Do both of these guys have like a trash can in their respective studios? Because if you've ever watched the 4th of July Nathan's Championship, they all got these buckets right behind the stage for when the contest is over. I wonder if these guys are going to go official barf buckets behind the competition.
And does barfing eliminate you? Does it disqualify you?
I think there's like a window immediately after it ends where you have to keep it in, but then after that you can kind of let it go.
Just the thought of it, man.
I'm not doing that to my system.
Eating contests in general are a whole nother level because, like, all of us on the show really enjoy cooking and really enjoy going out to a nice place and getting a nice meal, but just going absolutely crazy in 7 minutes and 10 seconds, that's a whole nother level. That's a different relationship with food.
They ain't really going to be able to eat that many, though. They're going to max out at six.
I was just going to say, Key, I'll bet that the winning number is higher than 10.
Nah.
That's crazy.
I'll bet it's higher than
max
10.
Out at six.
That's crazy. That's 1 1/3 dogs per minute. And if you're really trying to win, you could do that.
I mean, Alan's short and stuff. Where's all the food going?
Have you ever seen Kobayashi, Key?
No, why would I see that, Travis? Why would I sit there on TV and watch people eat hot dogs?
It's everywhere on the 4th of July. You can't miss it. I promise you,
I've never watched anyone eat hot dogs on TV.
I'm not saying you've watched the whole contest, but you've seen Kobayashi. Kobayashi's not a big
Kobayashi. I have no idea who he is. He's the champ before
Chestnut got taken down, and he's roughly the size of Alan Sliwa.
Yep. And you can gamble on this stuff now.
Who any of these people are. None whatsoever. The only thing worse than golf would be me watching somebody eat hot dogs on TV.
Watch it. I'm going to go play golf and eat a hot dog while I'm doing it. That's how I'm going to approach the 4th of July for sure. All right. We've talked about it, and the sports world has talked about it for a long time. The football team in Washington, D.C., and their name. And the team has been under pressure for a long time to change the name, and they have been steadfast in saying, we're not going to do it. Now, they've made some concessions to some other things. They've taken the former owner's name off of the Ring of Honor because he was a segregationist. But this is different.
Racist.
Fine.
Trying to soften the blow.
I wasn't trying to soften LZ.
Slow down, LZ.
He was not trying to soften anything.
Segregationist.
Yeah, that's okay. Slow down,
that,
LZ.
You
go
okay?
ahead and explain yourself,
say,
Travis.
I don't think that sounds a whole lot better. According to a report, big-time companies, Nike, FedEx, Pepsi, they've gotten letters from investment bankers and shareholders, 87 investment bankers and shareholders that control about $620 billion, telling companies like Nike, FedEx, and Pepsi to get lost with the Washington football team unless they change that name. $680 billion worth of money saying change the name.
What's the one thing that I always keep telling you over and over and over that will make NFL owners move the needle?
Money.
The moment you start affecting their money, they start to do what you need them to do. And that's the bottom line. When they think you could affect their money, that's why they take care of the players. When the players is good, they pay you. If you can make them money, they're going to pay you. If you can't make them no money, they ain't got nothing for you. And this goes for sponsors. When sponsors start to push back and start to say, man, you know what? Enough's enough. Daniel Snyder will get in line then. Watch it. He's going to make a decision to change the name, but he's going to do it in a way that's like real slick and sly to the point where it's not going to seem as though he was forced to do it based on losing economics.
I don't know how you could do it slick and sly.
But he's going to do it. They'll come up with a way to make him feel better. You understand what I'm trying to say? They'll come up with a way to make him feel better as if he didn't cave under the pressure of funds being taken from his organization.
I don't even understand why Snyder felt so compelled to make this cross the one he wants to die on. He didn't come up with the name. He's been a lifelong Redskins fan, blah, 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 blah. I understand all that. I do. But why would you choose this cross? You know what I'm saying? You could still be a fan of the franchise and not choose to die defending the name that is clearly a racist slur. So says the person who chose the name.
Because,
like, it's not even like something people are projecting.
Because I'm the size of a countertop, and I don't want people telling me what to do, and I'm a control freak, and I have a lot of money, and with money comes power, and I have an ego, and I want my power, and no one's going to tell me what to do. But what'll tell me what to do is when I start losing money behind it.
The crazy thing, man, when you think about the history of this team, you know, again, starting with the racist owner, but really just going through just the entire, you know, existence in D.C., here you have the last franchise that wanted a black player and that the federal government had to make him sign a black player, had to make him integrate his team. The last team, almost damn near 20 years after the first black player, the Redskins had to be dragged across the finish line. Fine. Then they become the first team to have a black QB win a Super Bowl. It was like God was like saying, oh, okay, you want to play nasty? How about this? Bam.
Well, I mean, look at it this way, too. Imagine if there was an expansion team, okay, that the NFL was going to add another team. And somebody said, we're going to name the team the Redskins. I mean, not in a million years would anybody ever sign off on something like that. Would that ever get floated? Would that even ever get proposed as a name for a team if you were going to start something here in the year 2020? Or if you're going to do that in the year 2000 or 1990 or 1980, that we've known for a long time,
yeah,
that this name is not okay. And yet we're going to say, well, this has always been the name of the team, so it's okay. What's the difference? If it wouldn't be okay now, why was it okay to keep having it now?
But it just
doesn't make any sense.
You do understand if a franchise was to start in this day and age, somebody would put that name on the table as a name.
And it would never get out of the room.
It probably wouldn't get out the room to get signed off on, but they would certainly sit at the table and think hard about it. Maybe if we just gave him why don't we take that paint off and move him over here and take the feather out of that ear, and they wouldn't know. It's going to be those type of people.
But that's the point.
Table.
It's not the imagery key as much as it is the name. They would try to figure out a way to make it work
until somebody really says no. How do you think some of these commercials get on air?
Yeah, I mean, that's a pretty good point. Spring training starts tomorrow across Major League Baseball. Pedro Gomez joins us next to break it all down. That's coming up on The Morning Show on 710 ESPN. It is finally here. We're going to have spring training, or I guess summer training baseball, starting tomorrow across the country in home ballparks. Pedro Gomez, who covers MLB for ESPN, friend of the show, joining us here on the Sprint People's Hotline. Good morning, Pedro. How are you?
I am well, Trav. How are you guys?
Take me out to the ball game.
Well, Pedro, that I don't think that's going to happen, but you'll at least get to watch the ball game.
What's going on with our governor, Pedro? I'm back in Arizona. What's going on with our governor? And what impact is the most recent cases here in Arizona going to have on the game of baseball and going forward?
Well, it won't, because professional sports are exempt. So a gathering of 50 or more does not include baseball. NFL, MLB, those NHL, none of those things are part of the governor's stop what everyone's doing. Bars are closed. It's been a mess. They don't know if they're going forward, backwards, whatever. Our numbers are spiking like crazy. ICU beds are at capacity. It's not good. Hopefully it does not break out at the Diamondbacks. But if it does, it could break out at any of the 30 big league clubs, and it would not be good. And we've talked about that here on the show, that getting to the starting gate is one thing. Crossing the finish line is a completely different thought.
Now, Pedro, is there any Major League Baseball teams, and I know it, you know they're not in a bubble, but is any of the organization isolating their teams, like hotel per se, or just in that particular city? Anybody doing anything like that?
Well, the Blue Jays are the only teams that are doing something like that. The players, you know, they play at the old Sky Dome, which is now called the Rogers Center. And it's the hotel is built into the stadium. The players are using that hotel, so they just walk down to the clubhouse and then walk onto the field for the workouts. They're the closest thing, but it's not a bubble per se. MLB does not have any 100% bubbles the way the NBA or MLS figures to. So it's still a crapshoot in that sense, because if one player somehow contracts it, brings it into the clubhouse, we know that it'll spread like a wildfire and out of control. And those things have been happening across the country, whether it be at a club, a bar, a house, whatever. So it's going to be very difficult, I think, to jump through every hoop in order to make this happen, but baseball's giving it a shot. And look, if they can't even get off the ground, the players don't receive any pay. You know, if they play one game out of 60, they get one day's pay. So it's going to be fascinating to watch what happens and to see if it can happen. But no, there's no bubble in baseball.
Pedro Gomez joining us here on the morning show. Pedro, let's be optimistic for a second and assume we get to the start of the season and we start playing games. Do you think we're going to see a bunch of injuries, pitching injuries in particular, because spring training is going to be condensed? We, you know, who knows what guys are doing during the downtime? I'm sure some of them were taking care of themselves. But, I mean, would you expect a lot of injuries when we have this sprint starting right around the end of the month?
Well, in talking to scouts and front office people who follow that type of development much more so, they believe that there probably will be a spike in injuries, especially to pitchers. And it makes sense in the sense that you don't know who's been truly working out these past 3 months. You don't know what shape they're in. You don't know, even if they're told, don't crank it up quite as high as you normally would during the first week or two. Human nature sometimes takes over and they do want to crank it up. So the possibility for pitching injuries absolutely exists. And I think baseball recognizes that because they're not even putting a limit on how many pitchers you have to break camp with. We know that it's going to be a 30-man roster at least the first week or so of games, but they have not said you have to have 18 pitchers or 16 pitchers. They're letting you take however many pitchers you want to take.
Pedro, I know we've talked about this in the past, and Giannis says something recently that made me think about baseball. And Giannis says, whoever wins this championship, this would be the hardest one because of what they had to go through with the pandemic. Is that something similar when it comes to baseball, or is baseball different because of how few games is being played compared to what a regular season is?
Yeah, I mean, in the sense of the NBA, I think theirs is more difficult because they played 80% of their season, hit a pause button for 3 months, and now they're hitting restart, and it's still the same season. In the terms of baseball, yes, it is a 60-game season, which is, you know, a complete aberration of anything we've ever seen in the season, but if they're able to get it going and able to cross the finish line, it will be a straight season. It'll still be difficult, but I do believe the NBA and NHL, because of the pause buttons in between, they're going to be more challenging probably for that reason alone.
Pedro, what about a guy like Shohei Ohtani? I mean, obviously a completely unique situation under any circumstances because he's a guy that can hit 40 home runs in a given season and be an ace on any staff. But in a 60-game run like that, and the Angels say he's going to pitch once a week and he's probably going to play the designated hitter 3 or 4 times a week, how much more valuable does a dude like that become in this situation?
Well, obviously because of the bizarre circumstances of the season, he does become valuable. But with a 30-man roster as opposed to 26 at the start, you can still get away with it. I would say that it's going to be more interesting to see how the Angels use him, because he is so young in the sense of his big league career. I know he's not physically young, because I think he's 24 years old, but he is young in his major league career. He is coming off Tommy John surgery. He has had the extra time off to get himself better in terms of the Tommy John recovery, but still, he's such a valuable piece of their future. Let's see, because I think any little discomfort he has, the Angels might just say, you know what, it's not worth it for the weird circumstances that the season's in, and they may just shut him down if he feels anything, any type of discomfort whatsoever, and that would include probably both sides of what he can do. But in a 60-game sprint, he's going to be fascinating to watch. He's going to be fascinating.
Pedro, and talking about travel, right, in Major League Baseball, the Yankees as well as the Phillies on the East Coast have something going on within the cities right now in terms of the travel ban for people traveling out of 16 or so states into those areas. What's going to happen with that in terms of the Yankees and the Phillies with teams traveling to those prospective cities?
Well, here's where the muscle of Major League Baseball comes into play. They've been granted exempt status for the clubs that are traveling into those states that currently have the bans. It's weird. There's a lot of different scenarios out there, and baseball's going to take advantage of, like I said, the political muscle that it has in Washington and in the state capitals of those states to be able to circumvent that rule. But if something were to happen, you know that the governors of those states are going to face a lot of backlash. Like, why did they get special treatment? And look what happened. Going out is not probably going to be a big issue in those states. I do believe that players from opposing teams will be told, you guys, you have to listen to this. You cannot go out. You cannot go to a restaurant. You cannot go to a friend's house. You just can't. But, you know, saying that to someone and actually having that person follow through are two different things. You would think as adults, recognizing the dangers involved and the fact that the season could just be put to a halt if something were to happen, and therefore nobody would get paid, you'd think those would be incentive enough, and hopefully they will be.
Pedro, we've been in talks recently about, you know, Washington's football team and the problematic name that it has. Have you heard any rumblings again in terms of baseball and how it uses Native Americans as logos as well?
Yeah, the Braves and the Indians, of course, come to mind, and they've been under pressure for years without any movement. I have not heard of a resurgence in that right now, but it would not surprise me at all if both of those clubs have their names addressed again in the coming weeks or months or within a year, because we've seen the tidal wave is coming and it's not going to stop. You can't stand in front of a wave and expect it to just stop. So it seems like the time is probably here for possibly some name changes.
Pedro Gomez covers Major League Baseball for ESPN, friend of the program. Pedro, we'll talk to you again soon. Thanks a bunch.
Of course, guys. Take care.
Be safe. All right, bud.
You got it. All right. Take it or shake it is coming up next on the morning show on 710 ESPN. All right, Key, let's start with an NFL topic. The NFL says that they're going to go from four preseason football games down to two. That will be the new normal. Two preseason NFL games from this point forward. Take it or shake it.
Take it.
All right, all right. Take here we
it.
Go.
I think it at some point it'll get to the elimination standpoint where there'll be no preseason games. You know, it's one of those deals where you look at it and, yeah, coaches like it. They like it. They think it's cute. But the players don't like it, and it's a waste of time. And you could get ready by – you don't – okay, so do you practice – so you practice to get ready for a game. Why do you need preseason to get ready for a game or to get ready for preseason? If you
practice, everybody does some simulated games. I mean, that's every sport has scrimmages prior to the start of the season.
But in football in particular, why do you need it? And even in other sports, Why do you need it? You can simulate a game with your own team. You don't need to have a preseason game. We simulated games in inter-squad scrimmages.
This goes back to, like, doing a play. I mean, everybody does a dress rehearsal once or twice before you hit the stage for the first time.
And my dress rehearsal is with my team. What do you think inter-squad scrimmages are set up for? That you're simulating the game. You don't need to have a preseason game to get ready for a season. I always thought it was stupid. It just didn't make sense to me. I got nothing out of it. Because I'm going to work out anyway. I'm going to run anyway. I'm going to catch footballs anyway. I'm going to hit anyway. I'm going to block anyway.
All right, let's go to another one here. We know that the hot dog eating contest between Mason and Sliwa is coming up later today. Both Mason and Sliwa will barf after the contest. Take it or shake it.
Take it.
Oh, take it.
Not after, during.
Oh, it's
during.
Coming up. It's coming
during.
Up.
During.
Who barfs first?
Are they beef hot dogs or are they like pork?
Does it matter? It's a hot dog, man. It's the, you're getting the end of the line anyway, right?
Ugh, God. Yeah.
The mix. Mm.
It's so
both during.
It's a bad deal. Both during. If one don't quit,
you think one's just gonna tap the table and say, "I'm done. I've had two. I'm out."
Yeah, I could do two at a game if I needed to really. If I was starving and I needed to get, I could only do two dogs, and that's spread out. That ain't even back to back.
Oh, I could do two in a baseball game in a flash. I mean, by the third inning, I could have two.
I mean,
dogs
have you
down.
Seen
That's
you though?
Yeah, and I've seen you too. Which is why two is a little low, I think.
Nah, two is good for me. I'm good. It doesn't do it.
I can't even imagine.
No, it sounds just awful. Good luck to both of them for keeping it all down. All right, let's talk college football right here. Let's take a listen to Paul Feinbaum, who believes that college football is going to have a real problem trying to finish their season.
Yeah, I think for the first time, we're probably at about 50% to start the season on time. And, you know, finishing it is I think it goes below that. But these are numbers that were a month ago, I thought it was 100%. I mean, that's how confident I was. So these numbers are slipping, and I think if I happen to be with you in a week or two, the numbers are going to go down. I mean, right now it's a little hard to predict what's ahead, but I just want to hear an honest portrayal from someone in intercollegiate athletics. And I have yet to hear that in the 3 months that we've been having this conversation.
College football season will end on time with a champion. Take it or shake it.
Shake it. He is so right.
He's going to take it.
Shake it.
Oh, shake it.
The upset. Okay.
Yeah, no, it looks like doomsday, man.
Wow.
Slowly but surely, because it's just there's school issues, unlike the NFL. There's school issues, students on campus. There's health issues, you know. Colleges are going to try to ask players for waivers. Parents aren't going to sign waivers. I mean, it's all sorts of different things from a political standpoint that's getting in the way. Guys, Oklahoma, 14 players just tested positive. I mean, college is just different, man. Now, they obviously are going to try to find a way to keep that money flowing, but it's just so difficult to do. You got the Pac-12 conference, you got issues at USC that may not start now. I mean, it's a lot going on.
Yeah, they're asking people at USC to do classes online and not come on the campus at all. Let's go back to the NBA right here. Kawhi Leonard wins a championship with the Clippers this season. That would be his third different team winning a championship, would vault him into the consideration of greatest of all time. Take it or shake it.
Shake it.
Oh, shake it.
How many do you need to win?
He couldn't. Kawhi's a great player and one of the top to ever do it, but it won't put him in a position of greatest of all time because the others that when you talk about greatest of all time, they transform the position, the game, all of those sort of things. When you look at LeBron James, for instance, he transformed not only the position, but also the game. Like, he doesn't really have a position. No. Right? I mean, his is kind of like I could play anywhere. Same thing when you talk about Magic Johnson. He never really – he transitioned the point guard position, but he could play it anywhere if he needed to. Michael Jordan transitioned transformed the NBA into this global brand that was ridiculous, and he brought the individuality, iconic status along with it. So, you know, it's not – no, Kawhi's still going to be one of the greatest players ever played, but it won't put him in at that level.
It's interesting when you look at his rings, and I'm not downplaying his impact on the team, but the first ring, he wasn't the man on the squad. He got the finals MVP, but he wasn't the superstar in the squad. And then on the second one, he joined a 60-win team, and LeBron James had just left the conference. And then in the finals, the team he faced was severely crippled by injuries. So I think people recognize that's part of his history as well. Now, the Clipper thing will be impressive, because what that franchise has always meant in the league. But I think most basketball people, when they really, really look at it, they know what it is.
All the things you said are true, but if he wins a championship with the Clippers, and especially if he's the finals MVP on three different teams, that is something that you just have not seen.
Oh, that's legit. Absolutely, that's legit. Yes.
Very quickly here, let's go back to the NFL. By the start of the season, the NFL team in Washington, D.C. will have a different name. Take it or shake it.
At the start of the season?
Yes.
Ooh. Shake it.
Oh, shake it.
No, not the start of the season. And the reason it's too fast, and everything was already printed up and made, and helmets and uniforms and jerseys and merchandising and all of those sort of things. They will make a commitment to change the name of the team by 2023.
Three seasons. That's a long time to repaint the helmets.
I take that back. They will make an agreement to change it by 2021 because they need the stadium built by 2023. That's kind of what I was getting at. But you made a good point. Don't take that long to change the name and the merchandising. 2021, that all of that goes out the window. It's a new team. It'll be called like the Washington Blackfaces.
Wrap it up, dude.
Probably not. They'll probably come up with something that'll go over well.
How about they name it the Washington BLMs? Hashtag.
Yeah, well, the better chance of that one than the other one. We'll see. Maybe Dan Snyder shouldn't be involved in selecting the name at all. All right. Dwight Howard has not made his decision, and the Lakers are not going to fill his roster spot. You'll hear from head coach Frank Vogel. That's coming up next on the Morning Show on 710 ESPN.